Welcome to Light of Christ Radio with Pastors Tom and Paula Graves. You're here at the perfect time, as God knew you would be today. We pray what you're about to hear blesses you, challenges you, and draws you closer to your Savior. Once we've reached the end of today's time in God's Word, we'll have some information about how you can learn more about this ministry and where you can find additional audio messages to listen to. You can join us over on Facebook right now to add some encouragement to your newsfeed and to your day. Just search for Light of Christ Radio or follow the Facebook link at our website, lightofchristradio.com. Well, let us get into God's Word as we begin today's edition of Light of Christ Radio.
Welcome to Light of Christ Radio with Tom and Paula Graves.
And this is where we tell a story of the Bible and let it spark some conversation.
We are sponsored by Trinity Church of Golden, Illinois. To learn more about us, go to lightofchristradio.com. That's lightofchristradio.com.
Today we continue our series, Follow Me, The Call to Discipleship. We're exploring the radical, transforming, and ongoing call of Jesus to follow Him. Today's story is about how we are called to be salt and light from Matthew 5.
Well, Paula, as we begin our conversation today, let's look at the context of our story.
Jesus began His public ministry after being baptized by John the Baptist.
Then He chose 12 men to be His disciples. These men had to radically change their lives as they left their occupations to follow Jesus.
And Jesus continued to travel and teach, and His disciples began to learn, as did the crowds that followed Him.
They all began to understand what it meant to follow Jesus.
Which brings us to a story from the Word of God.
When Jesus saw the crowds, He went up on a mountain and sat down. His disciples came to Him, and He began to teach them. Blessed are those who recognize they are spiritually helpless. The kingdom of heaven belongs to them.
Blessed are those who mourn. They will be comforted. Blessed are those who are gentle. They will inherit the earth.
Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for God's approval. They will be satisfied. Blessed are those who show mercy. They will be treated mercifully.
Blessed are those whose thoughts are pure. They will see God. And blessed are those who make peace. They will be called God's children.
Blessed are those who are persecuted for doing what God approves of. The kingdom of heaven belongs to them. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, lie, and say all kinds of evil things about you because of me. Rejoice and be glad because you have a great reward in heaven. The prophets who lived before you are persecuted in these ways.
You are the salt for the earth, but if the salt loses its taste, how will it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled on by people.
You are the light of the world. A city cannot be hidden when it is located on a hill. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket. Instead, everyone who lights a lamp puts it on a lampstand. Then its light shines on everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine in front of people. Then they will see the good that you do and praise your Father in heaven.
Don't ever think that I came to set aside Moses' teaching or the prophets. I didn't come to set them aside, but to make them come true. I can guarantee this truth until the earth and the heavens disappear. Neither a period nor a comma will disappear from scriptures before everything has come true.
So whoever sets aside any command that seems unimportant and teaches others to do the same will be unimportant in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches what the commands say will be called great in the kingdom of heaven.
I can guarantee that unless you live a life that has God's approval and do it more faithfully than the experts in Moses' teaching and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. And this is our story from the Word of God.
Well, Paula, as we begin to unpack our text today, we want to begin by looking how Jesus' teachings really radically change our worldview.
Right. We know the disciples had left their occupations to follow Jesus, and then Jesus began to teach them, and in the process, He taught the crowds that gathered. And in His teachings, we see that not only did they have to change occupation, but their worldview needed to change.
Yeah, that's important because we all have a worldview, but it may not be the one God wants us to have. Mm-hmm. So Jesus began to really to change their hearts so they saw things in a different way.
Yeah, and He began by listing items that bring blessings in His kingdom. And this list is sometimes called the Beatitudes because the Latin word beatus means blessed.
So Jesus' audience would have understood blessed to mean divine joy and happiness, But most people believe that blessings consist of, well, success, a wealth, a long life, and victory in battles. But that isn't really what Jesus was talking about.
No, in this we can see that Jesus values those who are spiritually helpless. He values the humble, those that mourn, and the peacemakers. And I think this kind of radical spirituality directly confronted the attitude of the religious leaders that were listening.
Yeah, it's not only the religious leaders, but the world, because it's kind of opposite. So it's really countercultural. Mm-hmm. So the Pharisees, they arrogantly congratulated themselves on following the law while looking down those who didn't. So really, again, where are their hearts?
Right. And if we think about it, even throughout history, religion has been forced on people, often militarily, from the outside, forcing certain actions. But Jesus didn't go there. He taught that it was a matter of the heart.
Yeah, those who realize they are spiritually helpless and humble, they seek God. They're the ones that are going to be blessed because they realize they need God.
Right. And it wasn't the outside actions that counted, but it was the internal heart.
Yeah. We first must realize our need for God. We begin to mourn over our sin and repent and seek the Lord for forgiveness. And again, it goes back to our heart. I need God. I've done something wrong. I need to go to God and ask the Father to forgive.
It's then that Jesus, in his mercy, will give us his righteousness so that we can be part of his kingdom and thus the blessings of the kingdom.
Yeah, and as Jesus lived out his life on this earth, he perfectly demonstrated all the character traits of the Beatitudes. It wasn't just talk, but Jesus demonstrated them by his actions.
Right, and so he tells us what brings blessings, these countercultural actions, but then he begins to talk about persecution, that there'll be blessings and persecution, because when you do these things, often the world will persecute you.
Well, that doesn't sound too good. We follow God and you're going to get persecuted, but that can be a gift, because when we're persecuted, that begins to change us, because again, we have to depend on God. It's kind of a frightening thought.
Right, because we want to avoid conflict. We like harmony. And so then we steer clear of anything that might bring us ridicule or suffering. But yet Jesus says, well, you should rejoice and be glad when you're persecuted. And it's like, whoa, that's not something I want to hear.
Yeah, that really challenges our understanding of happiness and prosperity. But again, as we talked about, persecution acts as a refiner's fire, purifying our faith.
Right, because when we're persecuted, we have to put our roots down deep into Christ in our faith. And it makes our faith less about our convenience and much more about unwavering commitment to our God.
Yeah, so this really forces us to depend on God. And maybe you've had a situation in your life where you struggled and had to really depend on God. And that was really not something you want to repeat, but it really was a good thing as you look how God really worked in your relationship with him.
Right. We need his strength. And then I think, Tom, it really realigns our priorities. I mean, sometimes we get worried about our bank account or jobs or houses, but when we're persecuted, it becomes relationships. First of all, our relationship with God and others. And then we look forward to our eternal destiny. That becomes important.
Yeah, and we can endure persecution only when we focus on Jesus. So we have to stop looking down and begin to look up. And again, when we do, it changes our perspective.
And part of that perspective is that worldly persecution is temporary, right? But heaven is eternal, so our reward is much longer than our persecution.
Yeah, so we can find joy even in adversity, not because we enjoy suffering, we certainly don't, but because we rejoice in the one we serve and the glorious future he has prepared. Again, it goes back to it changes our perspective on things.
And Jesus had told the listeners then, and obviously us now, that we're to be salt to the earth. We're supposed to stay salty for Christ. And if you think about it, what does that mean? Well, salt has many purposes. It preserves, it adds flavor, and it creates thirst.
Yeah, and we as believers are called to be agents of God's world. Mm-hmm. However, to be the salt, we're going to have to be available. We can't say, well, I'm too busy, I don't want to. Well, God, right. You can't be salty if you're not available.
Right. And so, and we can't do this on our own. Obviously, we have to do this with God's help and in God's strength. But we can be the salt. We can bring preservation to the world. We can enhance spiritual flavor. And the most of all, I think we want to ignite a desire for God in those around us. We want to make them thirsty to seek God.
Yeah, and when we live transformed lives, our actions become a powerful testimony of how to follow Jesus. Again, it's not just words, it's words and actions.
Yeah, and Jesus goes on to say, when salt loses its flavor, it's useless and it's only suitable to throw away. And I think this is really a severe warning about the dangers of spiritual apathy. And we can lose our saltiness when we compromise. And this is not just individuals, but I think for the church at large.
Yeah, we're in a spiritual battle, and it's easy for me or anybody else to be lazy. Mm-hmm. And when we're lazy, it's like being on a lazy river. We just kind of drift away. You got to be paddling if you're going on the water, let's say a canoe or a kayak, or otherwise you just drift.
Right. And our loss of saltiness can occur when we fear rejection. Maybe we just want to fit in with the crowd, or perhaps we, like you said, Tom, we get lazy, we neglect our spiritual disciplines, or we just allow fear to overwhelm our faith.
You know, the good news is that, salt cannot regain its chemical properties once it's lost. We as spiritual beings, we can repent of our sins. We can come to Jesus and ask to be forgiven, and we can regain our saltiness.
Right. So if we find ourselves losing our flavor, if you will, the path to become salty for Jesus begins with repentance and a renewed commitment to Him.
So let the Holy Spirit draw you closer to the Lord through prayer, meditating on His word, and worship.
Our calling is really to be this godly presence, and we want to influence every sphere that we enter so that through us, others may taste and see that the Lord is good.
Well, Paula, we need to take a break here. Go to Facebook and like our Light of Christ Facebook page. This will enable you to receive uplifting posts on your daily feed.
Share these posts and the good news of Jesus Christ with your friends. You can be an evangelist with a simple click of a mouse.
We'll have more from today's episode of the Light of Christ radio show in just a moment. If you'd like to learn more about this program, visit our website at lightofchristradio.com. You can also continue studying this topic in our daily blog devotional. Check out our Facebook page for more information. Now, here are Pastors Tom and Paula with the conclusion of today's episode.
Well, welcome back, and thanks for staying with us. Paula and I were just discussing staying salty for Jesus.
Right, and Jesus goes on with another analogy. He says, let your light shine. And he used the example of a city on a hill. Well, at that time, cities were built on a hill, and you could see them for miles.
So lamp oil in that day, that was pretty expensive. And no one would waste that oil by putting a lamp and then putting a basket on top of it.
Right. No, you would want it to light up the whole world. And so Jesus goes on to explain that the light he was referring to was their good deeds. So a disciple who did not live a godly lifestyle really was as useless as a light under a basket.
So God placed the nation of Israel at the crossroads of the known world, kind of in a trade route, so to speak, to demonstrate who he was to the rest of the world. And as a kid, I always wondered, like, why didn't God put him someplace else?
Yeah, someplace safe. Right?
Someplace else. But God wanted them to demonstrate what it's like to be godly people. Well, he didn't do a very good job at that.
Right. And the prophets were aware of this failure, and they prophesied God's solution to it. Because God spoke of one that would come who would be the light, for it would be a remnant of one, Jesus, that would be the light of the world.
As it says in John 8:12, Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. So what Jesus is really saying, if you're not following me, you are walking in darkness. But when you follow Jesus, again, that leads to life. In other words, eternal life, because you're placing your faith in him.
And when you place your faith in him and live out that faith, it becomes our good works that others can see. Now, our good works are not to bring honor to ourselves. We're not building our kingdom. Our good works are to bring honor to God because we want to build his kingdom.
Yeah, and if we are doing something to bring praise to ourselves, that's kind of the wrong motive. That's more for us. We're not building the kingdom. We are to consider the effects of our actions on the spread of the gospel, the good news of Jesus.
Right. And so as you live out your faith, and when you let your light shine, you'll begin to influence those around you in tangible ways. And I think really, Tom, this demonstrates our faith is not just between us and God. It's not a private matter. It's one that shows the world what we believe.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the people have had the most influence on me in a spiritual sense and a faith. They've let their light shine. Mm-hmm. They were the salt. And I mean, those people are just amazing that God brings those people into your lives and they're such a blessing.
Right, because walking the talk of faith results in actions that others can't help but see. You can't help yourself. They notice there's something different about you. Because we are to be influential for God's kingdom, and we'll do this even though the world might oppose us.
Yeah, and also as we see in our text today that Jesus came to fulfill the law. Well, sadly, when Jesus arrived in the world, the religious leaders, well, they had kind of misinterpreted God's laws, I think a little bit on purpose.
Right, and as they were listening to Jesus' teaching, I think they thought Jesus was breaking the laws. And so Jesus kind of preempts this thought and says, no, I didn't come to change the law. I came to fulfill the law. And he did. He didn't add to the law or anything, but he did one thing no man could do. Jesus kept that law perfectly.
And when Jesus spoke of a new way to understand the law, he was aiming to return the people to the original purpose. In other words, they had kind of misinterpreted, so they're drifting away from what God wanted. So it was not God's intention for the law to resolve humanity's relationship with the Creator.
Yeah, they thought if I do everything right, then God will love me. I have a relationship. But the law's purpose really was to serve as a tutor or maybe a schoolmaster. It was to show us our sin. It provided a temporary way to receive forgiveness until Jesus came. But it ultimately guides people by showing them their sins, it guides them to Jesus.
Right. And when Jesus fulfilled the heart of the law, he embraced its true intentions, its motives, and purposes. So he gently showed us that righteousness is really a gift from God's work, not something we can earn on our own.
Because we know Jesus became the Lamb of God. He became the sacrifice for himself. He sacrificed himself for us on the cross. He paid that blood price so that we can be forgiven and loved unconditionally.
Yeah, and through his love, Paula, the Holy Spirit empowers us to live out the spirit of the law. Again, that's the spirit of the law, which is, again, filled with love and justice and righteousness.
And fortunately, we're not asked to earn salvation. We don't have to be perfect, but we can respond to Jesus with heartfelt gratitude and faith because he died for us and our actions show it.
Yeah, and his work assures us that God's righteous requirements are met, and through faith in Jesus, we are counted as righteous.
And we know Jesus had said that he came to fulfill the law, and so now he begins teaching his followers that they too need to obey the law. In Matthew 5:19, it says, "So if you ignore the least commandment and teach others to do the same, you will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But anyone who obeys God's laws and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven."
Well, all of us like grace, which is God's undeserved love, and Paul speaks of it often. We read in Romans 6:14, "Sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace."
And that sounds great. And we know that the sacrificial laws are no longer needed because Jesus is our all-sufficient sacrifice. We don't have to go sacrifice a lamb at the temple. But the moral laws of the Old Testament are still in place. And Paul speaks of obeying these in the next verses in Romans 6:15.
Yeah, it says, "Well then, since God's grace has set us free from the law, does that mean we can go on sinning? Well, of course not. Don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living."
And a few chapters later, Paul places the Old Testament law in a New Testament perspective. In Romans 13:9, he says, "For the commandments say you must not commit adultery, you must not murder, you must not steal, you must not covet. These and other such commandments are summed up in this one commandment, love your neighbor as yourself."
So Paul was countering the lie that one must earn salvation. Again, that's what they were kind of proclaiming and saying to people. And Jesus says, well, not really. That isn't how it works.
Right. The audience Jesus was talking to here on the Sermon on the Mount was different than the audience Paul was talking to. Paul had told them that they could receive salvation as a gift from Jesus, but then other teachers came and said, no, you have to be perfect, you have to obey the law. And so Paul begins to talk more about grace, but not, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't follow the moral law.
Yeah, as believers, we're responsible for carrying the message of Jesus, the good news, which is amazing, to others, that Jesus died for our sins, and when we place our faith in him, we can be saved. And maybe today as you listen, you've never placed your faith in Jesus, but he's calling you by the Spirit to ask Jesus to forgive you and to place your faith in him.
So as we take this message out, we can't take God's word lightly, but we have to respect and obey God if we want to accomplish great things. And this requires a new attitude of our heart.
Yeah, as it says in Matthew 5, it says, but I warn you, unless your righteousness is better than the righteousness of the teachers of the religious law and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. What does that mean, Paula?
Well, I mean, to be righteous, first of all, means doing what God requires of us. And we know the Pharisees focused on outward appearances. They observed the law, they tithed, they fasted, and they made sure that people saw them praying. But Jesus, on the other hand, highlighted that he values godly motives, desires, and just to follow our have the following of our hearts before our actions.
So true righteousness demands humble surrender to God. So we need to, again, surrender, allowing him to reveal and transform our hearts.
Right. And he kind of, and Jesus showed that the religious leaders' righteousness was lacking because they prioritized external conformity over internal transformation.
So what you're saying, they were really satisfied with appearances and overlooked the fact that the law's purpose was to build a right relationship with God, again, about the heart and others, from a changed heart, from being changed on the inside.
Right, a heart that was seeking God, that was humble before God, that was willing to be merciful and to be a peacemaker. And so I think, Tom, the challenge of Matthew, especially 5:20 at the end here, isn't just to be more zealous in our following of the rules than these Pharisees were, but we are to depend on God for our true heart transformation.
Yeah, and when the attitude of the heart aligns with God's, our actions will demonstrate sincere devotion, fulfilling the spirit of the law and surpassing, again, the righteousness of the Pharisees.
And so, Tom, as we end, we know that Jesus taught his disciples then, and this continues to teach us now.
The kingdom belongs to those who realize they are spiritually helpless.
And these people are the ones who are willing to humble themselves before God. And when you do that, it causes you to hunger and thirst for God's ways.
This kind of heart attitude is willing to be merciful and peacemakers, even in the face of persecution.
And this heart attitude causes us to live differently. And then we can be the salt and light to the world.
To be righteous in the kingdom, obedience must be motivated by an internal heart transformation, not just duty.
Well, that's all we have for today on Light of Christ Radio. All our radio programs are archived as podcasts.
These can be found at lightofchristradio.com or wherever you listen to podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and TuneIn.
Light of Christ Radio is sponsored by Trinity Church, Golden, Illinois.
Be blessed.
This is the Light of Christ.
Are you new to studying the Bible? You're not alone, and we want you to know that we're glad you joined us today for Light of Christ Radio. We pray that you've learned something new today and that each edition you join us for brings you closer and closer to a new life that's only found in Jesus. Do you have any questions or would you like some more information about who we are and what we believe? If so, visit lightofchristradio.com today. You can join us over on Facebook right now to add some encouragement to your newsfeed and to your day. Just search for Light of Christ Radio or follow the Facebook link at our website. That's lightofchristradio.com. We've also created a resource if you're studying along with us in a small group setting. Visit YouTube and search for LOC Radio. There you'll have access to short videos and discussion questions to accompany each radio show. We're adding more and more videos all the time, so be sure to subscribe and be notified of the latest content. We'd also like to encourage you to find a local church that teaches the Bible and will support you as you grow in your faith. If you've enjoyed today's message, be sure to subscribe so you don't miss our next update. You'll find a link to that on the homepage. And be sure to join Pastors Tom and Paula Graves next time for another edition of Light of Christ Radio.
This is the Light of Christ. Who needs a hand, a meal, or a word? Who needs love touched or reassured? Like the sun rises and the darkness disappears, a need that's made.